Hello, my name is Arham Alam, and this is Swamp Talk, where we swamp the talk and talk the swamp. Today, I'm joined by Miss Amy Rutherford, who is a nurse at the local infusion center. So, if you'd say hi, Miss Rutherford.
Hello.
Okay. So, today, like in our other interviews, I will be asking her some questions concerning the pandemic, how she has dealt with it as a medical professional, and what she believes we'll see going forward. So my first question for you, Ms. Rutherford, is how have nurses been impacted by the pandemic?
I think in so many ways, but the one that really probably stuck out in my mind, and maybe like the saddest one, is that like at the beginning of all of this, when everything was so unsure, like the nurses had to go to work. They had to go in, and maybe just like an ER doctor that stuck there with certain patients, but like nurses at the hospital, you know, they work 12-hour shifts and stuff, and with one particular patient, if they had that diagnosis, you know, those nurses were working very closely with them, and nobody was really exactly sure how it transmitted, and they didn't have supplies. I mean, there was nurses wearing trash bags and stuff, and then they would go home and, I don't know, have to make dinner for their families and thinking, am I bringing this home? You know, and some of them got sick. So, you know, that stuck out in my mind. And at the infusion center, we dealt with it. And I dealt with it as a manager that couldn't get masks for my nurses who worked closely with patients, but not that long of time. Maybe they were there with 30 minutes. And, you know, nobody that seemed like they had it were supposed to come in, but nobody really knew who had it. We couldn't test for people. And I couldn't get masks. And eventually we had to have like the community help us out and made us cloth masks.
I see. So you had to use trash bags as a substitute for PPE?
Not me personally, but I saw pictures of the nurses in New York wearing trash bags when they ran out of gowns.
I see. Yeah.
And I mean that you feel, I guess you feel that as a nurse, if you see pictures of your coworkers doing that and thinking, my God, am I going to have to do that? You know,
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, continuing on, how do you prevent burnout while you're working?
Oh, that's hard. I don't know if any nurse actually prevents that. Probably no medical professional prevents it, but you try. Like, I know I try to schedule at least a vacation or two a year. And actually, the pandemic kind of ruined a lot of that. I had multiple vacations canceled because of it. So even since then, I just tried to find something maybe more locally that was just different that I could do that took my mind off work, just something completely different, just to get my mind out of the work mode. So I think vacations is important, but the pandemic's messing that up too.
I see. Yeah, that's true. So how does burnout affect your work or your job exactly?
Well, I mean, I guess it could affect you in many ways. Like, it could just make you a little, sorry, there's sirens going by.
No, you're okay.
It could make you, I guess, a kind of a colder nurse, less,
I see,
empathetic or whatever, or you just, if you don't show it externally, maybe some people kind of hold it in and just get really stressed out, and it can make you sick if you hold in all your stress like that.
I see. Yeah, that's true. So, moving forward, what flaws have you known about in our current medical system before the pandemic that have been and now have been exacerbated due to the pandemic.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why all these signs are coming right now.
That's okay.
But I guess there's a lot, but the one that I just thought of when you asked me is, you know, beforehand you try to be like, not germophobic, but you just, as a nurse or as a medical place of business, you try to be really clean and germ free. So when people come in with infections, you're not spreading them to other people. And so I guess like as a nurse manager, even you're trying to think of, you know, cleaning procedures and things that could transmit and stuff like that. And I think in the past, maybe you weren't too worried about like your waiting room. You weren't too worried about like your waiting room chairs being wiped down every single time someone sits in them, or maybe necessarily even a blood pressure cuff and stuff. But so with this pandemic and everything that you're having, I just remember thinking like all of this stuff that used to bother me a little bit with like regular germs was just like really worrying me with this new germ coming. Like we have to like we've gone to as far as like putting like saran wrap, like cling wrap, like plastic food wrap under our blood pressure cuffs and supply, just so that nothing like touches anybody that touches somebody else, you know. So I feel like there was always probably germ transmission at a healthy level before in the world, and that probably you noticed that more as a nurse that you wouldn't notice as a regular person. And then here comes a pandemic and you're like, oh my God, like this can't, we can't do it like this anymore because these germs transmit. We don't know what's going to happen. So
I see. So do you believe now, speaking or like regarding common people or lay persons, if you will, how has skepticism among most people, or like how has skepticism in the virus exacerbated the pandemic among the public?
Well,
or like has it?
I think probably for sure at the beginning, because I think it was so far away and it was in China, and maybe we've had other warnings in the past and we're like, you know, that's probably going to be like all the other stuff that the news exaggerates and stuff, you know, like it's probably going to be like that. Maybe we're not going to get it. And I don't think anybody prepared with the extra like supplies, like I was saying, like the masks and the gowns. And little did anyone think that all the masks and the gowns come from where the virus was, you know, and so nobody prepared. And then when they realized it was here, like it was already here and in New York and it was bad, then they couldn't get the supplies. And then I think the lack of those supplies caused a lot of spread at the beginning. So, I mean, I do think it affected it that way.
Okay. So could you elaborate a little bit further? Because I know you're talking about how sometimes the media tends to exaggerate. How did they do this type of exaggeration with H1N1 or Ebola or
no.
other?
No, no, okay. No.
I see.
No, like, I mean, I was a nurse during those times, and, like, maybe you heard a story or two about it, but it wasn't, like, nonstop reporting 24/7 about, like scaring you, you know, like it wasn't, you know, and it just, I just think it was different. Like you didn't, or maybe news is different now because news is like 24/7. It's not just like the evening news anymore. It's like 24/7 streaming, whatever. And they just keep talking about the same thing over and over. So I mean, maybe it's that different.
I see.
But I just think that probably because in other people's lifetimes, or maybe some of the older people that are alive now maybe experienced something like this when they were children. like nobody's really seen anything like this and probably thought it wouldn't get this bad or whatever, you know?
I see. So regarding the skepticism, like, how has it impacted your ability to do your job? Like, have you had patients turn down medical care because they don't believe this the virus exists? Or do you believe possibly that some people aren't going to hospitals because they believe they don't have it? Or
no, I think maybe the opposite even. I mean, I think the skepticism doesn't really affect the way I do my job, except for, like I was saying, about the late preparation with the supplies, and then we couldn't get them when we needed them.
Okay.
Because everyone was trying to get them. But I think, like, the opposite of what you said, for maybe now it's kind of starting to return to normal, where people do their normal, like, routine, kind of like, I'm going to go get checked up for this, or I'm going to go to the ER because I have this. But I would say for the first 6 months when this happened, I don't think it was skepticism. I think, like, the older people and the, like, regular people, because they didn't know. They were so scared, I think, from everything they were hearing. Like, you're going to die if you get this, you know. They were afraid to go to the hospital. So they wouldn't go get checked for cancer. They wouldn't do treatments for things that were found because they thought if they went near the hospital, that's where the COVID is and they're going to die.
I see.
You know, I feel like it caused, and it definitely caused all this fear, like caused all these people to, they've seen like recently when people are starting to like have to get treatment or get back to normal. I know that there's talk that they've seen people that like ignored heart attacks, they ignored strokes, not ignored them, but just didn't get the care fast enough because they were scared to go to the ER, you know?
I see.
So, but I mean, that's not my work, but I've heard about that and I've seen it. And actually in my work, I think I've seen more, like, we were trying to cut our numbers down for people in the office, but I feel like after a few months, we had more people, like an explosion of people in our office because they wanted us to treat them and keep them out of the hospital because they were thought that COVID's in the hospital is what everybody thought.
I see. Okay. So, do you believe that there have been, not sure how to phrase this exactly, but inadvertent deaths because of, like, fear of getting COVID-19? Like,
Okay. Like, old people that didn't go to the hospital when they were having a heart attack or having a stroke, those people maybe waited until they were too far gone and got brought in an ambulance and passed away, or
so what has the medical community done to, I guess, quell those concerns?
Well, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose to quell the concerns, but I have heard, like, commercials and stuff on the radio and on TV to, like, go get your cancer screen, go get your prostate check, go get your mammograms. I've heard, like, maybe health systems putting out commercials like that. But I think also, like, them holding news conferences trying to explain what's going on with the virus. Like, they're not doing it now, but they used to, I guess, have, like, a daily televised thing saying, this is what's happening, this is how they're treating it. And I think people know now, maybe they've had friends or neighbors that are maybe younger and healthier and have had it and been okay, and people are starting to realize not everyone dies from it, but they just never know, I guess, if they're that one, so they kind of are scared. But I think that people are hearing that there's a vaccine coming, that they can get those, donate their plasma with the antibodies if they've had it. Like, so they're finding out that there's treatments, and, you know, the nurses are more comfortable because they know that the PPE that they wear, the protective equipment that they wear now, that it works, because maybe they've been working through it and not gotten it, you know? So I think the hospital systems are trying to get information out to the public that they still need to get their checkups and make sure they don't have something else serious going on. but otherwise, I'm not real sure.
Okay. Well, Ms. Rutherford, thank you so much for joining me and doing this. I know you are exceptionally busy, especially during these times, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And to the listeners, thank you so much for listening. I hope you tune in for the next interview. Thank you.